Right now, I want to bring Ken Timmerman to these microphones. Ken, there's a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. I know that you were in some very interesting meetings today in Washington, D.C. I hope to be able to hear some of what you learned today. But let me talk about the Syria crisis as it relates to the G20. I know the president has returned back to the United States, all the other world leaders going back to their nations. It looks like there was a split almost down the middle as it relates to these 20 members of the economic superpowers of the world, the top 20 nations in that category. Was there anything that came out of it? Was it a beneficial meeting at all, or was it just a waste of time, really treading water?
Well, I think it's important to have these kind of meetings, summit meetings, and in this particular case, it highlighted the fact the G20, the 20 largest economies in the world, are not united behind President Obama's planned military strike against Syria. Russia's on the other side. The European Union is on the other side. The French are the only ones who have given any backing to President Obama. And it's become clear this week that French President Hollande is getting cold feet, especially when his own parliament was not particularly enthusiastic about siding with the Americans in a war in the Middle East. And 10 years after, President Chirac did just the opposite and refused to join the United States and 41 nations in the war against Saddam Hussein. So Hollande has made it clear that if the United States Congress votes against the use of force in Syria, France will back out as well. So this just showed that Obama is isolated in his policy of military strikes, and it's put it all out there in the public for everyone to see.
And meanwhile, while these 20 world leaders were meeting there in St. Petersburg, Russia, there were videos that were being presented to the world through the New York Times, through all the electronic media, and they have been portraying to the world, hey, wait a minute, these people who are in the opposition there in Syria, they're not really that good of people. Brutality has been their game plan, and it's some horrific sights that we have seen, and this is causing a problem, is it not?
Well, this is a very brutal civil war, and it's been brutal on both sides, but you're correct. There have been recent videos that are emerging showing the summary execution of Syrian soldiers by rebel groups in the opposition, after summary judgment, executing men tied with their hands tied behind their backs on the ground with a bullet to the back of their head. There have been burnings of churches and shelling of Christian villages by the opposition. The Nusra Front and the al-Qaeda affiliated groups in the Syrian opposition have said openly they want to impose Sharia law and to expel the Christians from Syria. These are the groups that we will inevitably empower and strengthen should the United States launch military strikes on Syria. And that's one of the reasons why I am increasingly coming to believe that it would be a foolhardy and counterproductive effort to launch those military strikes against the Syrian regime.
You know, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. I, like you, am moving in that direction as well. It does not seem great wisdom to go in and enhance the brutality of some of the opposition until we really know all the facts that are on the ground and deal with Bashar Assad the way he ought to be dealt with anyway. By the way, Russia is warning that there could be a nuclear disaster if indeed they attack Syria. Supposedly there's some type of nuclear reactor near Damascus. What do you know about this?
Well, there is. There's a nuclear research reactor, and I would be stunned if the United States military, with precision-guided munitions, would manage to hit that reactor by mistake. The Russians are saying if it's taken out on purpose, it's filled with highly enriched uranium, and it would essentially create fallout in the area. That is probably true, and my estimation is that the United States military would avoid that particular site as a result.
You mentioned the European Union just a moment ago. That's an interesting development. The EU, now, not every member state, but the EU, 28 member states, have sided with Vladimir Putin and Russia. There's no attack on Syria. That's pretty significant, isn't it?
That's extremely significant, and it shows not just that Obama is isolated, but the French are isolated in their effort to launch these strikes. Look, I think one of the problems here, Jimmy, is, and we discussed this a bit last week, but more information has come out, has been the very loosey-goosey intelligence that the United States has been presenting. Secretary of State Kerry mentioned this very specific figure for the casualties, 1,429. And yet, when I read the French intelligence estimate, which had a similar figure, they said 1,500, which is a round number, right? The French said, well, we derived that number from computer analysis of what could have happened if the sites that we know were attacked were actually hit by military strength sarin gas. So the number is really an estimate, and it's a simulation. It is not a real number. The Doctors Without Borders examined 3,600 patients who claimed to be victims of a poison gas attack. 355 of them died. Well, that's less than 10%. That is a, sounds appalling. But in a sarin nerve gas attack, a 10% lethality rate is ridiculously low. And very unusual. So I just think that we need much better information presented to the public. I think the public deserves to know the facts, especially if the administration is talking about sending our servicemen into combat. Now, I know Senator Kerry was trying to insist that they're not going to war, but excuse me, if you're a naval aviator or you're out on a ship and you're launching missiles that are going to kill people and are going to destroy things, you're going to war, and your life is on the line as well. And if the Russians get involved and the Russians counterattack against a U.S. ship and one of our ships goes down, what's that, workplace violence to this administration?
Absolutely. What a callous look at what is really the possibility of happening. And there are a lot of ships out there in the Mediterranean off the coast of Syria. In addition to that, Bashar Assad, or one of his spokespeople, made the statement they're willing to use kamikaze pilots to take out some of these ships or the aircraft in the air.
Well, they could try to do that, and the Russians have increased their fleet in the Mediterranean off the coast of Syria, and one of the ships that they've sent is a signals intelligence ship that is also equipped with high-performance lasers that have been used in the past to blind pilots overhead. There was a very famous case with an American pilot who was blinded by a Soviet laser or a Russian laser in the early 1990s. And they've used these in other countries as well. So this is a so-called non-lethal way of disabling our pilots and our aircraft that does really pretty significant damage.
We're talking about Russia being a very close partner with Syria, but Iran is as well. And the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei made the statement Iran has vowed to support Syria to the end.
Well, they have, and they have sent quite a number of Hezbollah fighters. They've sent Revolutionary Guards advisors to Syria for the fighting, and they have helped the Syrians to create this kind of local defense force that has, over the past 6 months, really turned the fighting around and turned it back into Assad's favor. The rebels are losing this battle, and everybody knows it. The military balance has swung in Assad's favor, which is another reason why using chemical weapons at that venture really did not make an awful lot of sense as a calculation on his part. Assad is a brutal dictator. Nobody doubts that. We've seen what he's done in the past. His father massacred 20,000 Muslim Brotherhood supporters in 1982 in Homs. And so I don't doubt the brutality of Assad's rule, but there are lots of brutal regimes around the world. There are lots of civil wars, I hate to say it, around the world, and very few of them have a strategic interest for the United States.
Well, indeed, we need to know the facts. That's what you've been saying to us, basically, before we make any strategic decision along this line. But just a thought, would you agree with me that Iran, Russia, and Syria in particular could attack some of their neighboring countries, even possibly the United States?
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of the risks here, is the risk of escalation. If I were sitting in Tel Aviv today, I would be a little bit concerned that I would be made to pay the price in Israel for miscalculation by the President of the United States. I would expect Hezbollah to launch some kind of retaliation against Israel should there be a United States military operation in Syria. So, yes, this is a powerful alliance, Russia, Iran, Syria, and it's not that we cannot defeat them militarily. It's that, is this the war that we want to choose? Or are we just getting backed into a corner because Obama, as one of his advisors said, now has to launch enough of attack not to be mocked?
Wow. So he does, so that he does not lose face. Ken Timmerman looking at geopolitical activities with us with a focus on the Syrian crisis. Very important conversation. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.